everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom engineering and producing the program, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show for this midweek edition, October 28th, 2020. We are hoping, and I think we're doing a darn good job of bringing Southern Arizonans together right here on the radio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. When we put this whole idea of the Buckmaster Radio Show together, it was 10 years ago that we were in the planning stages to launch the program in January. Tom, do you believe it? January 2011 is when we launched this whole project.
Wow. Ten years.
Yeah, 10 years.
A decade.
And I want to just briefly mention something that we came up with, the Buckmaster Show Pledge, and I rarely read it on the air, and I should read it more often. It's something we came up with 10 years ago, and it's at buckmastershow.com. Number one, listener opinions matter. Number two, always respect your audience. Three, we're a forum for ideas. Number four, quality guests. And put it all together, number five, informed listeners. So that's really what we're all about.
And somewhere in there, you should squeeze in the amount of diversity and variety that you
have. You bet. A to Z, we try to cover it all, from health to politics to education. And that brings us to our in-studio guest. And it's good to see him again, Dr. Gabriel Trujillo. We've been doing telephonic interviews with Dr. Trujillo for his every six-week visit or so to the program. So he's back in studio with us. Good to see you.
It's good to be back, Bill. And I think I must be the superintendent with the most appearances on the Bill Buckmaster Show. I think I have
to have
some kind of record,
yeah,
right?
You certainly are.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So it's always good to see you and hear what you have to say in this very, very challenging time. Let's begin with a very important board meeting that took place last night. The board voted to proceed with what has become called hybrid learning. When does that happen? And again, what is hybrid learning?
Well, the governing board, of course, last night took action to authorize Thursday, November 12th, as the day that we will initiate what's called hybrid learning. And what hybrid learning is, it's a framework of instruction, of instructional scheduling that splits time between in-person learning on campus and off-campus learning via an online remote instructional format. The whole purpose of hybrid learning is really to keep class sizes as small as possible, to keep on-campus student activity and presence as small as possible, obviously, to be able to mitigate the potential spread of COVID-19.
What do we have right now going on?
Right now, TUSD, Tucson Unified, we're in a state of online learning across the district. We do offer on-campus learning spaces, which are a little different. It's just basically student supervision for families that do need daily supervision of their students. And in these on-campus learning spaces, there is no live teaching. It's just the student sitting in front of a computer with some sort of a staff member monitoring them. And then they're viewing their teacher through Zoom. So it's not the actual live teaching and learning that students will receive with hybrid.
Are teachers going to come back then for this or what?
This is definitely...
Some will come back?
This is definitely one of the most challenging times in my entire career. And I thought that a few years ago, the Red for Ed Spring and the teacher walkouts and the advocacy for greater teacher pay and the Red for Ed season, I thought that that would be the most challenging time of this administration, and it's not, it's this.
And
it's
declining
not,
enrollment,
and declining
talking
enrollment.
About test scores.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but now look what you're facing.
Yeah, this is, and this is just, I believe, you know, and I think everybody has their opinion, but, you know, sitting in this chair, I think that we have seen an incredible lack of leadership at the federal level. Especially, we have a gridlocked two houses of Congress that can't seem to come to agreement. Governor Ducey's office, I think he's done what he's been able to do through executive orders. Of course, you have differences of opinion in our own Arizona state legislature. So all of this has combined to really leave individual school districts to fend for themselves, to leave governing boards in the position of having to be public health experts when they never asked for that, to make life and death decisions around safety, to become experts in air quality and transmission capacity of this virus. And what this has all done, it has inadvertently pitted parents' interests, needs, and wants directly against those of the teachers and the employees. And that's what's made this whole situation so difficult and so tragic. So though we are excited about welcoming back our students and our community on November 12th, there is a sadness, there's a recognition that we are going to be entering into a new phase of this school year that's going to see us leading a divided community. And my priority is to bring this community together. I had a couple of meetings this morning with a couple of our region's principals, also reemphasizing that message that our number one goal at this point is to bring our communities together around safety and around doing what's best for kids.
You have been criticized for not being transparent enough if there is a case in a particular school with letting the community know. Why is that?
Well, I'm always cognizant of the trust, the confidence, and the faith that our employees and the organization and this governing board and the community have placed in me. And I take that very seriously. And there's nothing, no part of my job I take more seriously than defending our employees' rights to privacy. And I respect the Star. I think they're a wonderful organization. They've treated TUSD very well. They always present both sides of any story they do. We just don't have the same viewpoint on this. I am very disturbed by the emerging trend of the stigmatization of individuals that test positive for COVID-19. And we're very aware of that. We've seen it now start to play out in our campus communities. And I don't ever want to contribute to that stigmatization to make a difficult situation already more difficult or even more difficult for any one of our employees that may test positive for COVID-19. You know, the media outlet might think that there's no breach of privacy, but when a story comes out that one teacher at school A tested positive for COVID-19, and then the employees at school A see that there's one person out from work the next day, they can do the math. They can figure out 1 + 1. I don't want to contribute to that. I don't want to contribute to an environment where parents are looking at that teacher funny or that employee funny when the employee returns to work. Also, every time that there's a story about a positive case in a particular school, not just in TUSD, but it could be in any school district, it presents the school as less than sanitary, less than safe. There are reputational consequences. There are enrollment consequences to that. My job is to advocate for our district, our community, and that's why we've taken the particular approach that we have, Bill.
Some school districts in this area have double-digit drops in enrollment. Where is Tucson Unified?
We are clocking in at just under 5%. The pandemic has been devastating for us. Our 40th day enrollment reflects a loss of 2,058 kids, but the 40th day was October 5th. We've gone on to lose an additional 500 students between October 1st and last night's governing board meeting. So though the 40th day reflects 2,058, our true losses are 2,519.
Where's the hemorrhaging going? Where are the kids going?
Well, number one, we've taken our biggest hits at kindergarten. We've seen a 16% reduction in kindergarten families year over year, between this time last year and this school year. We have taken a 21% loss of preschool enrollment, which is our number one feeder into the TUSD system. And we've seen a lot of these families, they are opting for either homeschool, they're opting for charters, they're opting for private schools. Some of them are leaving out of state. So it really is a mishmash, but the common denominator seems to be dissatisfaction, not necessarily with TUSD, but with the whole situation as it stands. Dissatisfaction with childcare, dissatisfaction with online learning, fear of the virus, mistrust of the federal government, mistrust of the state government, not being happy with masks. So all of this has created just a cocktail of frustration for parents that have caused them to leave.
What a mess this is. Then there are all the students that just are at home not doing any online learning. They're playing video games, helping the parents watch other kids. I mean, it's a mess.
It is a mess, and that's probably the most disturbing subgroup that we're looking at right now and trying to re-engage. We do have a significant amount of kids that are just staying home. Mm-hmm. They haven't gone to another school. They're not at a charter. They're certainly not logging on with us. And so we are in the midst of planning a pretty aggressive outreach campaign once hybrid kicks off to get the students re-engaged.
Well, I'll tell you something that's not a mess. Mona's Danish Bakery, Dr. Trujillo, this is a good news story.
It's a great news story, especially when we're talking about that blueberry crinkle,
There you go, the crinkle, yes. Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, home of the Danish crinkle. People say, what's the crinkle, Bill? Well, it's a beautiful pastry that comes in a variety of flavors. I love the almond paste one or even the blueberry. Mona's is open for breakfast. They're open for lunch right now, indoor, limited indoor, of course. They've got plenty of room out on the patio. Plus, you can do an online order. Pickup orders also welcome. Mona's is open Monday through Saturday, 6 a.m. to 5 in the afternoon. Sundays, 7 to 2. I will see you up at Mona's, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise.
And Bill,
yes.
When Mona's starts doing the seasonal treats for the holidays things.
That's coming.
Oh, please let us know.
Oh, yeah. We'll start talking about Thanksgiving here very soon and ordering your dinner rolls and everything. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. And again, our thanks to Rincon Ventures for sponsoring our live line guests here on the Buckmaster Show. Midweek edition, my show has my name, Bill Buckmaster. That's the brand. We'll be right back. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at veroamorepizza.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson. Tucson International Airport.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
A Citizens Advisory Committee of the Regional Transportation Authority is in the process of developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, and soon will consider which projects best address transportation needs across the greater Tucson region. As part of its ongoing public outreach, the RTA invites your early input on which projects meet regional goals. Learn more about plan development and provide input at rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. I'm Bill Buckmaster with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, Tucson Unified's superintendent, with me in studio. Before we talk about the very serious money issues, a lot of people, I know some think, who cares about athletics and football, but that's going to proceed, isn't it?
Football's going to proceed, and I know that we've taken some criticism that we authorized football before school. And what the point I try to make and the point I made publicly at our board meeting last night, and I've said this a few times publicly, football's an elective activity. It's an extracurricular. School is compulsory. So we're talking really about two different things. And parents choose to authorize their kids to play football. And if you choose, you're willing to do the things that we've asked, like sign a waiver, releasing the district of all claims that could arise out of a potential COVID infection. You're willing to keep your student in online remote learning, so keeping them sequestered while they're engaged in this high-risk sport. And parents have opted to do that and follow the Pima County Health Department's recommended protocols that we've adopted. So we view football as a little differently, and I believe that sports are very, very important part of the academic experience. And we have a lot of students that are in contention for scholarships, and their athletic performance is going to determine their route, their road to college or university. So we take that very seriously.
Will the teams be playing Friday night?
I believe TUSD's first game is not Friday night. Our team's first competition is most likely going to be November 13th. Our games will kick off, because the football teams have to have a minimum of 2 full weeks of conditioning and full pads.
All right, let's talk about a very serious situation, the money situation. We talked about the declining enrollment in the face of all of this. In real terms, what kind of money are we looking at after the federal money dries up for next school year?
Well, right now, Bill, we have a life-saving enrollment stability grant through CARES Act money that is going to absorb the punch of a loss of 2,500 students this year. Just the loss of those 2,500 students represents a $15.5 million hole in the budget. Then we're taking an additional funding loss of 5% for each individual student that's in online learning, because you get less funding from the state for online learning. So when you add up the funding loss of 5% times the 42,000 students right now that have been in online learning since August, and you add that loss to the $15.5 million for a loss to 2,500 kids, we have a $24.5 million budget hole right now.
Wow.
And for this year only, we have what's going to be about $20.5 million coming in through the enrollment stability grant to save us. So thankfully, this year, we're not going to have to do the types of ugly things that usually happen in this situation, like layoffs and program closures and reduction in force. So the good news is we don't have to do that this school year. The bad news is, as you said, this federal money dries up. We cannot assume that we're going to get another round of it. And we're heading into 21-22, having to build a budget that is going to feature almost $16 million in reductions, deep structural cuts.
What's on the table?
we're going to have to take a serious look at things like hiring freezes. And that's going to result in some definite reductions in services that schools have typically enjoyed in the past. We're going to have to take a serious look at stipends that we pay out for teachers. We've always been able to pay recruitment and retention stipends in hard-to-fill areas like math and special education. We're going to have to take a very serious look at that. We're going to have to take a look at a lot of other areas that we have typically been able to afford. Are we going to be able to afford all the bus routes that we've typically been able to afford? Those are things that we're going to have to look at. Are we going to be able to invest the same money that we have in our pre-K programs? The district has always absorbed a certain percentage of our pre-K operations because early childhood education is a fundamental value that we have in the district. But with a $15.5 million hole, are we going to have to pull that funding back and then just make it full tuition? So these are very difficult conversations that we're going to have with a new governing board that's coming in January.
Three new members in the governing board.
And right? it will be the challenge of their political lives.
Yep, three new members on a five-member board. What about all-day kindergarten? Could that have to go?
All-day kindergarten is definitely going to be on the table for discussion. The state of Arizona only gives us 50% funding for kindergarten. And because of our deeply held belief of the importance of early childhood education, we've committed millions of dollars to making sure that every kindergartner experiences a full day of school. That's in danger right now in terms of the amount of money that it costs to sustain a full day of kindergarten across the district. It's been a tremendous recruitment draw for us. It's what makes TUSD special. But when you're talking about cuts in the $15 million to $20 million range, these are the types of tough conversations that have to happen. Obviously, nothing set in stone. These are the types of discussions that the governing board is going to have coming up when we start talking about the school year 21-22 budget. Now, a victory with Prop 208 could change our landscape a little bit, but we can't count on that. A new round of CARES Act funding. Okay. Neither of us know what's going to happen in the election.
No.
Either locally or federally. Mm-hmm. But a new round of CARES Act money could certainly lessen the severity of our financial hole.
But we do know at this point the picture is very bleak financially.
The picture is very bleak financially. And not just for us, but also across Southern Arizona. We talked about last night at the governing board meeting that in Southern Arizona, we pulled a report of all the Southern Arizona districts. There's a range of enrollment loss between 3% all the way up to 13.5%. TUSD's landing where most other Southern Arizona districts are at, which is around anywhere between 4 and 5%. ADE came out on Friday in an interview with KTAR. Superintendent Hoffman noted that they're seeing a 5% drop in enrollment across the state of Arizona in traditional K-12 districts. So though TUSD is matching that trend, and it's not a TUSD specific challenge, it doesn't lessen the severity of what we're facing.
Can you imagine teachers that are just saying, I don't want anything to do with this? We already had a teacher shortage.
This is really, like I said, it's going to be the challenge of our lives because a lot of the things, a lot of the programs, a lot of the structures, a lot of the strategies that we fund that make us competitive in the open enrollment market, unfortunately, have to be on the table and at least have to be discussed. When you're talking $15.5 million, you can no longer get that done just cutting administration. And I know that's a popular talking point, make cuts in administration. Well, you know, that might get you $1 million in cuts. Where are you going to come up with the other 14? When we've already lowered administrative spending, Bill, we're already down at 8.9%. We've taken administrative spending down from 11% to 8.9%, and we've done that in the last 3 years. That's like $4 or $5 million we've already made in administrative cuts at the district office and across the district. Where else do you go?
So many unknowns, and the board did vote last night 5-0 to say, you, Dr. Trujillo, will have the power to close the district or a specific school if an outbreak does happen. So it's on your shoulders, that part of it.
Health and safety first. If we open for hybrid and the Pima County Health Department taps me on the shoulder and says, hey, we have a public health emergency, funding or no funding, financial difficulty or no financial difficulty, the safety of our employees and kids come first. I will not hesitate to close a school or to close the district in the face of a spike, a surge, or an outbreak.
Well, we'll be talking with Will Humble, who is the former Arizona State Health Director. In fact, he's on the line ready for his next our next segment. He's going to talk about the state metrics for schools that were just announced. So we'll have Will talking about that. Dr. Trujillo, always a pleasure to see you. This is very, very challenging times for all educators. Never in your career, I imagine, did you ever think you would be facing something like that. You kind of touched on it earlier. You were always, there was always contention over a loss of enrollment and then perhaps test scores, but now you've got this to deal with.
Yeah, and it's we've got great people. I believe in the spirit of TUSD. I believe in our employees, and we'll come through this, Bill.
Thank you very much, Dr. Trujillo.
Thank you.
It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. He's not a doctor, but he could be. Will Humble is with us on the live line right after we take the mid-show break. Here's CBS Network News now.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Hello, I'm Jeanette Bewley, President and CEO of the Tucson Airport Authority, with news of our new effort to ensure air traveler safety and security going through our terminal. It's called TUS Cares, and you can read more about it on our website, flytucson.com. As you carefully weigh your decision to fly, I want you to know whether it's next week, next month, or next year, we are here for you at Tucson International Airport. Thank you.
The Arizona mining industry provides precious metals needed to support technical and structural equipment used by law enforcement, firefighters, and the military to keep us safe here and around the world. But the most critical part of public safety and national security is the people who serve without hesitation to protect us. The Southern Arizona Business Coalition stands with our men and women who serve with respect, responsibility, integrity, and discipline daily to keep us safe.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Good news on the Buckmaster hibiscus. I thought it was dead. We had that brief, actually hit 32 degrees, setting tying a record yesterday from 1899. Who would have thought in a year that we have had the hottest temperatures ever that we would break that record on the low end? But anyway, the hibiscus, put it out in the sun yesterday, gave it a little water, and the leaves started to perk up a little bit. So that's good news. Green Things, 13-acre site with everything green you can imagine over at 3384 East River Road. Go to their website, greenthingsaz.com. A lot of information. We have the poinsettias, the thousands that they grow. They're getting ready. A couple more weeks, they'll be ready for your Thanksgiving table. Also, zocalovillage.com for all that great merchandise, much of it hand-carved in Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. The Buckmaster Show Live Line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Let's go now on the live line to Phoenix and Will Humble. Will is the executive director of the Arizona Public Health Association. He's got at least three decades, probably getting closer almost to four, in public health. He's been around a long time, former state director of health. He headed the agency from 2009 to 2015. Will, how are you?
Good morning, or I guess good afternoon.
Yeah good afternoon.
Here. It's always... Yeah, you were mentioning plants a second ago.
Yeah.
I don't know, it's just happening down in Tucson, but here a whole bunch of saguaros have died just because the summer was so hot.
Yeah.
You can see them all around town. It's kind of odd.
Yeah, and we drove back. We were up in the high country, Petrified National Forest, and then over to Wilcox, and then back down over the rim, and came back through that superstition wilderness area. And in all my years in Arizona, I never really have appreciated what a beautiful area, Will, that is of the Far Eastern Valley.
Yeah, you got that right. That's for sure. Anyway. Let's dive in.
Yeah, all right. Let's begin with following up with Dr. Gabriel Trujillo, head of Tucson Unified, who just was with me in studio for a half an hour, and they have decided to go with what is now called the hybrid mix of learning. That's going to be coming online, and they'll be starting that in a couple of weeks. What do these latest school metrics look like?
Well, it depends on the county that you're in. Fortunately, for you all down in Tucson, Pima County has really pretty good metrics. When you look at community spread, both cases per 100,000, the trend line on the percent positivity, those are both actually looking pretty good in Pima County. And so for Tucson Unified, I think now is a fine time to go into stepping it up into, you know, more in-person learning. That's not the case, for example, to your neighbors right to the east there in Graham County. If you look at their metrics, they're doing quite poorly. And so so the answer to your question is it really just depends on what county you're in, what the community spread looks like. And you're fortunate to have a really talented leader down there with the Pima County Health Department, Dr. Cullen, and they've been making some really good decisions down there.
All right. I just pulled up in front of me here these numbers. The new cases for today were a bit over 1,000. We had been quite a bit below that. Let me see what Pima County. We've been actually doing a lot better than many of these counties. Okay, well, that's up considerably today, Will. 259 new cases, no new deaths. But I tell you, we'd been running in an area a week or so ago of 15 to 25 cases a day. So the cases are up here.
Yeah, here's what I encourage you to do is, and I do this myself, is I never hang my hat on a single day's worth of data. What I like to look at is the 7-day moving average. So if you look back on the past 7 days and look at that as sort of a trend line, that's a good way to make decisions. But I tend to not put too much on these individual days, because Tuesday is actually one of the days with that typically is higher, and Wednesday too, because some of the weekend stuff gets delayed.
How are we doing, though, overall? Are we part of this national trend that has had this spike? And this had long been predicted of a kind of second wave. But, you know, I think you could argue there's been actually a couple of waves, haven't there already?
Yeah, we've already had two waves, and this would be the beginning of a third wave in Arizona. The first wave was smaller, and remember, we did that stay-at-home order, which knocked that wave down, gave us more planning time. And then as you remember, the second wave was that really bad one in June and into July. And the last time we talked, which is about a month ago, things were looking actually pretty stable and pretty good. And that's not the case anymore a month later. Things are definitely on the upswing statewide. Having said that, Pima County's doing a good job. So it's, you know, you're better off there than in really any other part of the state.
You know, I'm looking at some of these national articles about where we go with the pandemic. It seems like they get bleaker and bleaker. I want to point out the Saturday essay in the Wall Street Journal about the long shadow of the pandemic. That says it's going to go on for 2024.
Oh, I disagree. There are so many gloom and doomers out there that I think, I'll just be honest with you, Bill, I think there are some people in academia and other places that believe that the more alarming they can be, the more airtime they'll get. And that's, I honestly think that there's an insidious pattern there where people say, really, they say things that they don't have data to support that alarms people, and it gets more journalists to ask them questions. They get more ink, and it's a self-serving loop. Here's the thing. There are, and we talked about the vaccines a month ago. The vaccine trials are pressing ahead with minimal interruption. There's several in phase three. That's the final phase of testing. Moderna, AstraZeneca, Pfizer, Johnson & Johnson, and others. And I am confident that we will have a safe and effective vaccine, or more than one, to be honest with you. Now, not every vaccine trial is going to probably be successful, but there are so many underway that are so well funded that I think we're going to have a vaccine that's going to be safe and effective. Yes, there will always probably be sporadic COVID-19 cases in 2020, late 21, 22, 23, 24, but it will be sporadic. This will be something that the vaccine will allow us to move on. That's my opinion.
So much confusion, Will Humble, about the herd immunity thing. I mean, you can read a story that says it's crazy. You can read one that says it's the way to go. I don't know what to think.
Well, herd immunity is the way to go, but the way to achieve it is through the vaccine. I mean, that's what we're after, is herd immunity. And the way to get there is mostly through the vaccine. We're probably going to have – I think we need to get – about 65% of the population to be immune to the disease so that we can put it largely behind us as a pandemic. 15% of that will probably come from people who were infected with the virus and recovered. And the other 50% will come from people that get vaccinated. But in order to get that 50%, you're going to have to vaccinate more than 50% of the people, because the vaccine isn't going to be 100% effective. If the vaccine is 70% effective, then you'd have to vaccinate 70% of the population to get half of us with the level of antibodies and immunity that we need.
What are you hearing about the flu this year?
Well, in South America, what they observed, which they're just finishing their winter as we go into our winter, what they observed was that they actually had a fairly mild influenza season for two reasons. Number one, that the face coverings that people were wearing to prevent COVID were also working to slow the spread of influenza. And also, people were more motivated to go out and get their influenza vaccine in the Southern Hemisphere. So that was both Australia and South America observed the same thing. So so I really, quite honestly, expect us to have a relatively mild influenza season, mostly because people will be wearing face coverings, which that is almost nobody wears a face covering in a normal influenza season. And now a big chunk of the population will be doing that throughout the entire cold and flu season.
All right, we're going to pause right here with Will Humble. He'll be on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We're in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios. Will will be coming up. I want to talk about Proposition 207. He's pretty much now made a decision on 207. A month or so ago, he was undecided. I want to hear his thoughts on 207. It's Buckmaster Midweek. We'll be right back. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year regional transportation plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to select projects for the draft plan. The committee will help identify which projects to invest in to best meet regional transportation needs. Learn more about plan development and provide early input at rtanext.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. You've heard me talk about choosing Tucson International Airport. While fewer people are traveling lately, our airport is doing even more these days to help ensure traveler health safety, including counter safety shields, physical distancing markers, enhanced cleaning, and more. It's called TUS Cares, and you can learn more at flytucson.com. These may be different times, but my priority remains to fly Tucson, Tucson International Airport.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Hi, this is Pam Krim, CEO of the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, where we set the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the place to turn for objective and unbiased information on businesses. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Time to start planning for that visit to Silver City. They had some beautiful snow over in Silver City yesterday. Saw some pictures on Facebook. Looked really nice. Only a 3-hour drive from Tucson, so start your planning now so you'll be ready when New Mexico is once again ready and open to out-of-state visitors. The place to go, southwestnewmexico.org for your planning needs, where to stay, and some great ideas of things to do. We are in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. On the live line is Will Humble. Will is the Executive Director of the Arizona Public Health Association and a frequent contributor, trying to get him on pretty much every 30 days since this whole COVID thing began. He spent from 2009 to 2015 as the director of the Arizona Department of Health. Will, until about a few weeks ago, you were undecided about the Marijuana Initiative 207. What have you decided now at this point?
Yeah, well, there's things I like in Prop 207 and things I don't like, and so it was hard for me to make a decision about how to vote. But I'm going to end up voting yes on the initiative, and primarily because I'm really frustrated at the lack of criminal justice reform efforts in Arizona, particularly when it comes to marijuana possession laws. Possession of small amounts of marijuana is a felony offense, a class 6 felony. And, charging and convicting people for a felony for possessing a small amount of marijuana does way more harm than good in the community for that individual person, for their entire family. It makes it much more difficult to get a job because you have to say that you've been convicted of a felony. So I'm gonna vote for it for that reason, but I don't like the fact that, you know, we're going to have retail stores if it passes, which will make it easier to access marijuana and probably make it easier for adolescents to get it, which is the main thing that I'm concerned about. Although, if you look at the other states that have passed a retail marijuana law, and particularly Oregon, Colorado, and Washington, they have not yet seen an increase in adolescent use for marijuana, at least in those states. So I don't like the idea of making it more available, especially when it comes to adolescents. But I think that this might be the only chance that we ever have to do real meaningful criminal justice reform for marijuana laws, especially for, you know, possessing small amounts. I'm not talking about trafficking. I'm talking about small amounts. So that's why I'm going to vote yes.
Is it safe?
Marijuana?
Yeah.
No. I mean, well, safe what? Is it safe to use small amounts if you're an adult in your own home when you don't have any other important responsibilities? Yeah, relatively harmless. Is it safe to smoke if you're going to drive? Absolutely not. Is it safe to be an effective parent while you're high on marijuana? No, that's not a good idea. Wait till the kids are in bed or something like that, I'd say. But, you know, it's not a harmless substance, as some people will tell you. But I have to, as I was making my decision about how to vote, I was evaluating, what are the public health benefits of 207 versus what are the public health threats? And there's both. There are both. And there's reasonable ways to look at it either way. For me, it's just getting the criminal justice reform in place is what compelled me to decide that it's worth the risks that are clearly in, you know, voting yes.
Then you have stories like the piece that appeared in the New York Times on Tuesday in their Science Times health section, which I think is, I always look forward to that. I think it's excellent. And the piece was about the cardiovascular hazards, Will, that are associated with smoking marijuana.
Yeah. And so that's the thing about marijuana, is there's these two methods of delivery, smoking and the edibles. And they each have their advantages and disadvantages. So smoke, if you're going to look at it that way, if someone's going to use marijuana, they have those two options. If the advantage to smoking it is that you feel the effect immediately. And so if somebody's going to use a bong or a pipe or a marijuana cigarette, a joint, and smoke and inhale it, the effect is immediate. They're immediately high to whatever level it is that they're high. And then it's easier to self-regulate and not get super stoned. Whereas with edibles, but you're inhaling it, which is all these combustibles, which cause damage to the heart and lungs, versus the edible, which doesn't cause that lung damage because you're not inhaling those combustibles. But it's much harder to dose, because if you take too much of an edible, there's no going back. You know what I mean? Like with a joint, you can stop, you know, when you think, okay, I'm pretty high, I'm going to stop. That it's a one-way street with an edible. If you take too much, you just have to ride it out. So there's advantages and disadvantages to each approach, and but there are clear disadvantages to smoking, especially when it comes to the heart and lungs.
Yeah, and Ingrid called us, listener Ingrid. She thinks that marijuana smoke, Will Humble, lingers in the air and can actually damage children's brains.
I don't know about the brains part of it, but it clearly it's, well, you can think of it like tobacco smoke. You know, it's a combusted product, so it's not good for kids to be around the smoke. Whether or not it has a neurological effect, I haven't seen that data, but it definitely has an effect on the lungs. Yeah, just as secondhand tobacco smoke does.
Your gut feeling, I've got about 30 seconds. Do you think it passes?
Well, I think it's going to pass. If it doesn't pass this time, it will eventually pass. I just think that you know, in many ways, it feels like marriage equality felt a few years ago, where, you know, there was a lot of people that were against it, and then the tide just turned. And I think that's kind of the way it is with the marijuana laws.
All right, Will Humble, always a pleasure. We'll look forward to your next visit to our show. Thank you, Will.
All right. Take care. Anytime.
Thanks a lot. Will Hummel with us on the Buckmaster Show. It's Buckmaster Midweek Edition, wrapping it up here in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Will was on the live line, which is presented by Rincon Ventures, real estate and property management. On behalf of my fine engineer producer, Tom Fairbanks, Bill Buckmaster, wishing you a very safe and pleasant Wednesday afternoon. Back with you 12:04 tomorrow.